Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
As I mentioned, we're beginning a new sermon series today, and I left one of my notes over here. We're taking just these few weeks to talk about three steps in the Christian faith, and I want to be clear that these aren't the only three steps, right? There's more than three steps, but over the course of these three-week series, today we'll talk about step out into faith. Again, we'll be guided by the book of Romans. The second will be step toward your siblings in Abraham, and the third will be step forth in your spiritual gift. So just, you know, so you know a little bit about what's coming. Although, to be honest with you, like even knowing what's coming, you don't always know what's coming. Isn't that sort of the truth? I hope it's the truth for you, because it's certainly the truth for me. I had a weekend that was unexpected, and it was emotional in a way that was much more conflicted than I thought it was going to be. What we had planned over the course of this weekend, we had some, our neighbors were coming over for dinner on Friday night, and then we had two parties to go to yesterday. One was a birthday party, and one was sort of a combination birthday anniversary party. Awesome. Was really looking forward to the weekend. Thursday, I got, through the magic of Facebook, I got a reminder that I also had a funeral to go to. Now, it's one of those things that I should have put on my calendar. It's someone who, frankly, is a friend of mine, but it was months ago that he passed, and there was a long wait before the funeral service, and I just didn't put it on my calendar. Mostly knowing that I get a reminder, but frankly, I should have owned that, and I didn't do that. So all of a sudden, my weekend was going to be different because I was going to have these two, this birthday party and this birthday anniversary party, but they would be bookmarked around this funeral service. And so that sort of changed my experience of the weekend. Well, Friday night, we had our neighbors over for, we had tri-tip, which is always a good thing for me. We had our neighbors over, and that was great. And then Saturday morning, time to get up on Saturday morning. And one of the things that's just sort of my general practice most days of the week is that, I'll get up and I'll sort of clear my vision because, you're just waking up. And then I make a choice to look at, what's happening in the world. Is there anything happening in the world that's important to know about? And I got online and I saw the news about what was happening in Charlottesville. And it changed my day. It changed today's sermon. Like what I expected to talk about today is not what I'm talking about today. I went to the first of the birthday parties. Joe, who runs our sound and does our video announcements, it's his birthday, so we had a birthday party out at the bay on Fiesta Island. And I was there, and there were lots of good people there. Got to see the Spences again. They're just back from Michigan, and lots of new people to me. But I just didn't feel like I was completely present. Like, I didn't feel like I was my normal, extroverted, personable, jovial self, because I felt so distracted and so heartbroken. We left that party a little early because I went to my friend's funeral. His name's Spencer. I can't say that Spencer and I were terribly close. Spencer was 34 when he died. He had this like really bizarre, sudden, really fast lung thing that just killed him. It was terrible. Spencer and I spent a week at camp together. And if you've been to camp, you know how close people can get in just 1 week. And from that camp on, we kept saying, "Well, we'll get together soon. But we're both busy humans, and we didn't. So I wish that we'd gotten closer. But I remember sitting in Spencer's service, and I just began to weep, like the super sweet woman sitting behind me had to reach forward with some tissues, because I just couldn't stop crying. Now, Spencer's an amazing human, and I think the world is a little bit worse without him. And I think what I was crying about was more than his loss. And then we went to this other party, and, I had a good time, and I'm not sure I was entirely present there. Part of what was happening for me was how conflicted I was feeling about the racism, about the violence, both in words and in spirit, that I was seeing out of Charlottesville. I can't imagine, I couldn't imagine that we live in a world where that still happens. It's not okay. And as a person of faith, I can't imagine not speaking about it. That's why today's sermon has changed. In fact, I have a friend who's following all this stuff while she's in vacation in like Australia or New Zealand on the other side of the world. And she posted on social media this morning, she said, if you're a white preacher and you don't talk about Charlottesville, you probably ought to look for another job. And she said, if you are a white person going to church and your pastor doesn't talk about it, you might want to think about finding a new church. In my own conflict, I had to make a decision about how to respond to this both publicly and privately. In social media, I have public profiles, but I have more private profiles. And I have a couple of slides, Bill, that I'll show you. Here's the first one. This is what I shared on my my public Twitter feed. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. It's a quote from Martin Luther King. And then our church Facebook page quoted me saying the same thing on Facebook, but also we hold in prayer the people of Charlottesville for light and love and hope and peace. And these were the public things that I shared, but I also shared something privately on my personal Facebook page, and I put it in red because I was so angry. It says this, I'm so angry about Charlottesville right now. When are we, white people, gonna learn? And I got some pushback, and that's okay, I can take that. And here's what the pushback said. Hold on, you can't lump all white people together. I agree with that. Not all white people are racist. Not all the people in Charlottesville, Virginia are racist. I agree with that. What was happening in Charlottesville was a vocal minority, and it's a minority that I think we must speak and act out against. But here's the thing, and here's why I continue to say that we, white people, when are we going to learn? If we continue to participate in a system that allows this kind of hatred and spiritual and verbal violence, then we're still messing it up, and we need to change the system. We today, we participate in a system where the demographics of our citizenry is dramatically different than the demographics of our leadership. The demographics of our citizenry is dramatically different than the demographics of our prison population. We, my friends, all of us, and especially those of us in the majority, participate in a system that puts some people down and elevates others, and we must change the system. We must. It is a moral imperative, and in my opinion, because none of what I'm saying I think is political, it's our Christian duty to speak for those voices who are silenced. Now, this church does a really nice job at that. But we have to step it up, and we have to do more, because we continue to participate in a system that is doing harm. We must make a difference. But it's not easy. And I'm not talking about Republican, Democrat, Independent. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about we as people of faith. We who call ourselves Christians, we who come to church and participate in a community of faith that is one of the most diverse communities that I've ever been a part of, both in terms of race and sexual identity and gender identity and expression and ideation and political affiliation. This is a beautifully diverse place. It's amazing. So what can we do to help the world see the beauty of this diversity? Because it's not easy, it's not going to be easy, and we have to do something. And so I think, as in all things, that we should take a look at our sacred text. I don't know how God does some of God's work, but like our text today really fits into what we're talking about. And so I'd like to invite Judy to come and read. This is from the book of Romans. We're continuing in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 10, verses 5 through 15.
Moses writes about the righteousness that comes from the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith talks like this. Don't say in your heart, who will go up into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will go down into the region below, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the message of faith that we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. The scripture says, all who have faith in him won't be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. So how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they have not heard of? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news.
Thank you, Judy. As I have often said with our sacred scriptures, context is important. And we might remember, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that those to whom Paul is writing are the church in Rome. And it's not some big church that looks like this that gets together every Sunday and has communion once a month. It's a group of house churches. And it's a group of house churches that are somewhat divided between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And in the earlier part of the book of Romans, Paul is writing to sort of convince them, listen, you don't need to be separate. You're stronger together than you are apart. In this section, he continues to write, and he's talking about the difference between the law, the written law, and Christ. And in very early in this first few verses, between verses 5 and 6, there's a really interesting distinction that I read in this. Where Moses writes about the law, writes about the righteousness that comes from the law, and then continuing, but the righteousness that comes from faith talks. Do you see the difference? The written law, the righteousness is written, faith speaks. One is a static tense, and one is an active tense. Do you read that in there too? The righteousness is written, but faith speaks. I believe that the church isn't a noun. I believe that the church is a verb. One of the things that I think is beautiful to see is a church that is in action. A church that speaks up for those who are marginalized. A church that speaks up and advocates for those who are put down. A church who speaks words of love and care for those who are told they're not good enough. I believe that the church must be in action. And do you see how this fits exactly in with Paul's writing? Righteousness is written, but faith speaks. How can we speak? And what does it mean if we speak? You know, another thing happened yesterday that was pretty profound to me. You know, I'd woken up and I'd seen the news and watched the news about Charlottesville, including a car driving into a crowd, which, like, I still can't get my head around. I went to a party and didn't feel fully connected. I went to a service where I cried my eyes out and then went to another party. But at this other party, I had the great privilege of having a conversation with someone who told me sort of his life story. And part of the story that he told was one filled with heartbreak and broken trust and betrayal. But the part of his story that he told me was about being told by someone that he loved and cared for more than anybody else that he was loved not only as he is, but because of who he is. And he's somebody who continues to embody that love and joy and engagement with the universe today. And I got to tell you that in the midst of a day where I just felt beat down by the world, it was a conversation that reminded me of the beauty of love in action, of the beauty of love that is spoken in ways that are amazing and profound and that give life. It was a conversation that reminded me that faith and love speak. They are actions. And if we feel beat down by the world, if we see, whether it's through the news or the people around us, if we see something that makes us feel as though the world is broken, we have the opportunity, indeed, I think we have the duty to speak. I not only heard about Charlottesville through, watching sort of some raw video feeds, but by an author by the name of Brian McLaren, who shared through another author about how amazing the clergy were. And maybe you saw on the news a parade of clergy going and kneeling on the street in front of a group of armed militia people, for lack of a better word, getting on their knees and singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." It was an illustration of faith that speaks. Let me read you another part of this scripture that stands out to me. Near the end of what Judy read today, the last series of questions that Paul writes, this series of rhetorical questions, he says, so how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard of? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? He's leading his readers to the idea that we must speak. Our faith must speak. Our faith must be outward. But here's a subtle difference that frankly is translated incorrectly in every Bible that I have. The second question that Paul writes, how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard of? The of was added. Hear that sentence again without of. How can they have faith in someone they haven't heard? Now, if the call is to have faith in the risen Christ, and the question is, how can they have faith in one they haven't heard? Then who is it who must be the voice of Christ? Who is it who is called to be the body of Christ, to go to the margins, to go to the underprivileged, to go to the places where there is violence and word and inaction? Who is it who is called to go to that places? My friends, it is us. We must be the voice of Christ. We must be the presence of peace. We must be the little light that shines even in the darkest places. We must be the present Christ in a world that is broken, that is hurting, that is damaged, and that is in such desperate need of light. We must be that light and that voice and that presence and that love. We must be. And so I find hope in the places where I see people living that light. And I see hope in my fellow persons of faith who kneel on street corners faced with people with automatic weapons and who sing and who speak and who live lives of faith. And there's another place that I find some hope. And it's in our United Methodist hymnal. A clergy colleague of mine shared this idea, and I think it's amazing, and I think it's something for us to remember. Many of us who are here, and surely not all of us, but many of us who are here have experienced baptism, maybe as a child, maybe as an adult, but many of us have experienced baptism. And in the United Methodist tradition, we ask some particular questions around baptism. And there are these three questions. And they're asked of the adult who is baptized, or they are asked of the parent whose child is being baptized. Here are the questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And they respond, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And they respond, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, all nations, and all races? and people respond, I do. And so, my friends, I wish to ask you these questions. And I wish to hear your response. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, all nations, and all races? If so, say, I do. And my friends, I didn't answer, but I must. I do. I do. I do. When we leave this place, whether we are going into our homes or into our communities or visiting people or visiting other churches, wherever we go, we must be the people of Christ. We must be the presence of Christ. We must be the love of Christ. We must be the light of Christ. We must be the voice of Christ. We must be a people who speak no matter how dark it gets. Because I believe that we can build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven if we speak. Amen. Let's have some meditation time. We'll have a time of prayer. Brenda will play some beautiful music, but I invite you during this time to be in prayer for how God might be speaking to you through this time of worship today, through this message, through this service today. I invite you to be in prayer. Together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, as we are gathered together here in community, we are grateful for your connection that draws us to this place. We are grateful for those who are with us here, who celebrate with us when we celebrate and who hold us in strength and love when we grieve. We are glad for this connection and this opportunity to be here and to be our authentic selves, knowing that we can trust this community of faith and love and light and hope and peace. God, we lift up the people of Charlottesville. We lift up those who oppose racism and bigotry and division, that they might have the strength to continue to shine your light of love. And God, we lift up those who shout such angry and hurtful words, that they too might know your love and experience changed hearts. God, we lift up all these things to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.